This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Our next guest is Ro Allen. Ro is the Gender and Sexuality Commissioner. Still the only one in Australia, Ro?
Yeah, still the only one batting out there on my own.
So you're a purebred, like you're the base.
Yeah, I am. Look, some other states around Australia are certainly looking into the concept of having me, but they're certainly just kicking tyres at this point.
Yeah. Well, was here, you know, Victoria was first. Now, the Royal Commission, the State Royal Commission into Mental Health, has come up. A whole lot of issues have been raised, but one of the issues that really, I think, makes us all sit up and take notice and something that needs a lot of attention is the unacceptable suicide rates amongst our community.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're overrepresented, and, you know, there's a number of reasons for this. Mental health and the way that society engages with us and how we are so much at risk here. Tell us about what's come out and how you think this should be dealt with, Ro.
Look, I think the point that I, you know, in the hour and 15 that I was in the witness box, hopefully the one takeaway message that the Royal Commission got was it's not our sexuality, it's not our gender identity and our sex characteristics, it's actually the discrimination and stigma and the minority stress that we live with 24/7 that is the cause of our mental health, anxiety, depression, you know, levels. In relation to suicide, I think it's always important to remember we've got switchboard.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, we'll give you the switchboard number in just one second. You can look up that. But I think it's really important that we remember that there's services and supports there for us. And we start collecting the data. And that's the other thing that the Royal Commission really wanted to know about was, you know, when someone does take their life, we don't actually record it. You know, and I talked about remembering being at a number of funerals where the person's sexuality or gender identity wasn't mentioned at all. Most of the people up the back knew they were queer, knew it was probably the reason, but because of the stigma, the family, whether they had a...
Didn't want to
say it or, you know, and people in our community would have those lived experiences as well. I'm not the only one. So switchboard's 1800 184 527. If anything that we're talking about today raises things for you.
You should go there first because it's a resource that is so valuable to our community. The state government supports it.
Yeah.
The federal government has also provided some support.
Yep.
I just want to give you a little really quick story. You might remember Susan Davies was the independent member for Bass in the state parliament and was one of the three independents when it was the BRACS minority government.
Mm.
And Susan and I became quite good friends. She's still up in Gippsland running a sort of a power co-op of some kind, electricity power co-op. But I asked her once, I said, Susan, what was the predominant reason that you stood for Parliament? She said, look, there are a number, but she said there was one. She said, I got really sick and tired and distressed by the number of LGBTI people in the country that were taking their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, when you'd speak to the families, they didn't understand why Johnny had gone down the back paddock and done away with himself. And, you know, this is like a long time ago. So again, you know, it's the inability to talk about it. It's the issues and it's the way society treats it. I think the Royal Commission is really important because it's going to be evidence-based. This is about real people, real cases that the Commission can then report back to the government.
Mm.
Now, I know you're not a spokesperson for the government, but the government has, if correct me if I'm wrong, has committed to the implementation of the findings.
Yeah, every single one.
So that...
All we have to do is get in the findings, mate.
We need to get in the findings.
See, that was running through the back of my head the whole time. I just have to give them the recommendations. Just give them the sound grabs here.
Yeah, give them the findings.
Give them the findings. And look, you know, there were four fabulous people. So I was first. I'm really glad I was first, I got to say, because, you know, You've got Dr. Ruth McNair. And
well, you're a hard act. You're a hard act to follow, Dale.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to follow Ruth or no. Michelle Telfer either. I'll let you in on a little secret. I'm not really, really good at remembering statistics. So I asked the council to give me the statistics.
And you're a bureaucrat.
I know.
Jesus.
So I was really lucky. I'd prearranged that with council. So she read out that, you know, 64% and 32% of this and this is this. So I only had to comment on the statistics. I didn't have to remember
them.
The actual numbers under pressure. And everybody said, that's genius. That's genius. But, of course, Ruth remembers it all and can rattle it off. And Michelle's got it all, you know. So, but basically I gave an overall LGBTIQ 101. And I wanted to cover every group. And it's interesting, you can't, there's no actual table to look at your notes. So you really have to try to remember. And it was like a bit of a game of bingo going on in my head. I had to make sure that I got every letter mentioned.
Yes.
You know, and because, you know, our community's fairly good at feedback. So I had to get every letter.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, feedback. I think Hannah Gatsby calls it feedback. Yeah, very good at feedback. So every letter, and then, of course, every population group, all the intersections that are higher rates of mental health and distress. And so whether that's the Aboriginal community, multicultural community, disability, neurodiverse, I ticked them off in my head as I was still going, I got gay veterans and I got gay farmers and I got... And then I got to the end and went, oh, my goodness, I've forgotten a group. And I was very lucky that I got questions and I was able to...
Weave that in.
Weave the LGBTI carers, because we're overrepresented as carers and there's a whole lot of mental health issues for carers. So I got that in as well. And I think if you watch the video, you can literally see my shoulders go down and I'm just going, whew, got them all in.
Yes.
So the material's there. And then, of course, Ruth and Michelle were able to come in with, you know, the medical evidence and the clinical stuff. But, you know, if you think about our community, we are so diverse.
Yeah.
And there's not just the issues of sexuality, gender and sex characteristics being LGBTI, but, of course, there's the racism that our community faces as well and people of faith and, you know, all the dynamics in that. But, I mean, the basic bottom line is the stigma that we experience.
And it's really interesting, Ro, because, you know, a lot of people that are able to deal with all those issues and cope and, you know, function pretty well, you're actually, and I suppose, look, I'm one of those, and I always have to remind myself that there are people that are much less fortunate. There are people that have been dealt a different set of cards, that are in a different set of circumstances, that are doing it really, really tough. Mm. And that it's our obligation to make sure that they're not left behind, that they're not forgotten. And that's where this Royal Commission is so important.
So, so important.
So, so important.
But even, you know, even the, you know, the ones in our community that are travelling really well, like yourself, took a hit during the postal survey.
Oh,
the number of, you know, I had number of gay men saying, I have a great job, I have support, I have a great, you know, partner, my parents are supportive, my workplace is important, I'm out. You know, I have friends and sports clubs and I'm, you know, but this is really rocking me around. Mm. So you think, okay, so there's our community that are the most, you know, resilient, if you like, that are travelling at a high level, that haven't used a mental health service or any counselling for, you know, 20 years or so, who still can be provoked by that kind of level of stigma. So if you remember how you felt,
I do.
Imagine if you were one of the vulnerable members of our community. Because I said to the Royal Committee, we lost people.
Yeah.
We lost people during that period. Mm. You know, I think that's where my sheep stations.
Yes. yeah, absolutely.
They love that in the country. I was in Warrnambool the next day and they said, oh, sheep stations, Commissioner.
And, you know, there's a listener has phoned in. That this listener is particularly worried about people with a disability who identify as LGBTI, and we've had a number of discussions on this show, you know, of disabled members of our community and, you know, how they feel and that they feel, you know, they're not able to participate as much.
Absolutely. I remember Stella Young was a disability advocate who many people may well recall, who we lost far too soon, unfortunately, and I was very good friends with Stella. And Stella taught me about the social model of disability that explained that, you know, her problem was not that she was in a wheelchair and she moved through the world in a wheelchair and that in and of itself was a barrier. It was that the world had been created in a way that made that a problem. And I think that's true for a lot of LGBTI people as well. Like in when you were speaking at the Royal Commission, I know you literally joked about this, hoping this wouldn't be the media grab, but, you know, access to bathrooms and things like that was an issue. And I think, you know, when we have these debates, like whether it's the postal survey or the religious freedom debate, there are people on the other side
that are really doing it tough.
Yeah, well, but they don't seem to realise, they don't take the time to put themselves in the shoes of members of our community who say, you know, for some people, like if you're trans or intersex, every time you get on a tram, you know, or every, you know.
It's that minority stress, the fear of being verbally or physically assaulted is enormous. So look, in the area of disability, we haven't done enough yet by a long way, and I'm the first to acknowledge that. In the first year I was commissioner for International Disability Day, we ran an LGBTI forum, and, you know, we haven't done enough to make the inroads in that. The Victorian Pride Centre virtual site, the virtual Pride Centre, is going to be fully accessible. And every event that we put into that, every calendar event, and it's another plug for it, people need to put in events into the virtual Pride Centre, will show whether it's actually accessible or not.
Yeah.
Whether it has Auslan interpretation and whether it's accessible. And it's back to us to make sure. I mean, if you remember, you know, in our history, we had clubs and pubs that met upstairs in dark alleys, down in, you know, because that was about safety, to be meeting away from ground level.
Not that far from here in Collins Street.
Yeah. And, you know, I had lunch with an odd lesbian the other day who said she literally got out of her wheelchair and crawled up the stairs just to be in those spaces. That's unacceptable now, you know. We have to be on ground level. I have a basic fundamental policy that I don't go to a venue that's not physically accessible.
Yeah.
Doesn't make me friends sometimes when I'm meant to go and launch something and I find it's on the garden rooftop and I go, sorry. I'm not doing that. I'm not going up. And I actually got a whole event moved down to the bar downstairs. We didn't have anybody with a wheelchair turn up, but it wasn't the point. Yeah. The point was I don't go to venues. This commissioner doesn't go to venues where it's unaccessible. There's a really good thing that's coming up is NDIA.
Yeah.
Now, we have an absolute champion. She'll love me for this. Suzanne Prosser, who used to be heading up Safe Schools in Victoria, has moved to NDIA to look at the disability LGBTI inclusion strategy. So we have an absolute fabulous person in there. I'm not saying that one person can change all of NDIA LGBTIQ overnight, but, you know, those slow things are happening in that space.
Now, we're going to have to go really soon, Ro. When will all the findings be public? When's the Royal Commission report?
I can't tell you the exact date. I'll have to take that on notice. But
it's a few months, though, isn't it, you know, to write the report?
I think I'm quietly confident. I can't, you know, I don't want to jinx it.
No.
But Penny Armitage, the chair, the commissioner in charge, the chair of the Royal Commission, was quoted saying that the statistics around suicide for our community are unacceptable. So I expect to have our own little section.
Good.
And I'm looking forward to then the Premier implementing those, and I'll probably land in my job bucket, I reckon.
That's good. That's good. Now, the number for
Switchboard again
is
1-800-184-527. 1-800-184-527. Switchboard.org.au.
Thank you, Ro. Always great to see you. Ro is the Gender and Sexuality Commissioner, the only one in Australia. Other states are looking at it, but it's a great initiative by the government. You're doing great work, Ro. Thank you for your hour and 15 minutes at the Royal Commission, even including the sheep stations. Stay well, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, everyone.
Cheers.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.